Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. The prayer of preparation. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts be open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The commandments. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment, and the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Lord, have mercy upon us, and write all these thy laws in our hearts, we beseech thee. Almighty God, whose kingdom is everlasting and power infinite, have mercy upon the whole church, and so rule the heart of thy chosen servant, Charles, our king and governor, that he, knowing whose minister he is, may above all things seek thy honour and glory, and that we and all his subjects, duly considering whose authority he hath, may faithfully serve, honour, and humbly obey him in thee and for thee, according to thy blessed word and ordinance. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost liveth and reigneth, one God, world without end. Amen. Now we come to the collect. After that we have the readings. The collect for the fourth Sunday of Epiphany. God, our Creator, who in the beginning commanded the light to shine out of darkness, we pray that the light of the glorious gospel of Christ may dispel the darkness of ignorance and unbelief, shine into the hearts of all your people, and reveal the knowledge of your glory. In the face of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen.
First reading today is from Malachi chapter 3, beginning at the first verse. I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord, as in days gone by, as in the former years. So I will come and put you on trial. I will be quick to testify against sorcerers, adulterers, and perjurers, against those who defraud labourers of their wages, who oppress the widows and the fatherless, and deprive the foreigners among you of justice. But do not fear me, said the Lord Almighty. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 40. Jesus presented in the temple. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus for him to do what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what had been said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Mary and Joseph had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us unto Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory, to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy, catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Now we have our sermon.
Good morning. For context, for those of you watching this online, I've also prepared this talk to be part of our Sunday service. And at that Sunday service, we've got the huge privilege of baby Elowyn coming to be christened as part of our Sunday service. And I love the fact I get to tie that together with this passage of scripture where Mary and Joseph bring the baby Jesus to the temple to be presented. So approximately 2,000 years ago, Mary and Joseph have got up, prepared themselves, ensured that they've got all the correct sacrifices required by law, and they've brought their precious firstborn child to be presented at the temple. in amongst all the other people at the temple. I like to picture them wearing their best clothes. To many people attending church on Sunday mornings, that's their Sunday ritual. They get up, they go to church, and then they get on with the rest of their week. But this Sunday, Lizzie and Mike will be bringing their baby Elowen, and they're going to remember that day. I absolutely remembering the christenings of our three children. To Mary and Joseph, this isn't a really important day, as it will be to Lizzie and Mike and all their friends and family. But I wonder, beyond Mary and Joseph, who at that temple 2,000 years ago remembered that young couple and the two elders who got excited about the baby? At that temple, much like we will on Sunday, we have three groups represented. You have the baby, the parents, and then you've got the rest of the people present at the temple. This passage rightly focuses on the small family group, but a particular emphasis is placed on Simeon and Anna, who were two complete strangers to the family. I see Simeon and Anna as the final visitors to the baby Jesus. This is the last we're going to hear of baby Jesus, and the last we're going to hear of any miraculous events surrounding his birth. But being that Christmas now already seems so long ago, who were the other visitors? Firstly, we had the shepherds. They were sent by the angels. There is noise and singing and dancing and rejoicing, and it was loud and enthusiastic. And then secondly, we have the magi, or three kings, or wise men. And they come after studying the stars, and they bring expensive gifts and a sense of ceremony and importance. And then lastly, we have Simeon and Anna, who the passage tells us were prompted and sent by the Holy Spirit. These two certainly don't come with the drama of the shepherds and the wise men, but they're significant. We have one man and one woman. Simeon is described as righteous and devout, and Anna has lived in the temple since she was a young woman, worshipping day and night. These two represent the Old Testament welcoming in Jesus. They have followed everything told to them in the scriptures, and then prompted by the Holy Spirit, they recognise in the tiny baby Jesus everything that has been promised to them in the scriptures. Simeon declares Jesus as a light for the revelation of the Gentiles, and Anna rejoices, gives thanks to God, and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to redemption. So, how is this relevant today? Well, in every single way, but beyond the obvious comparison of young parents bringing their firstborn child to a holy building. You see, when I was talking to John Waits, he described christening an infant as inviting the Holy Spirit to be part of a child's life. And this struck a particular note with me. So thank you, John. In our passage today, Simeon and Anna are both sent by the Holy Spirit, and that allows them to see Jesus and recognise that tiny baby for who he was and all he would come to be. By allowing the Holy Spirit into our lives, into their lives, they could recognise and hear God's word, and that invitation is open to us also. And so that leads me to my final thoughts. We all know that raising a child is hard. David and I are still very much in the midst of raising our three. But we're certainly not doing it alone. The saying, it takes a whole village to raise a child, still very much holds true today. We're blessed by a wide circle of extended family and friends, as well as school teachers and other adults like scouts leaders and judo coaches, amongst all the others, who are all taking their part. Yet, in this secular and modern society, choosing to raise a child in faith takes a particular challenge and a certain amount of thought. But I think of the community at St Margaret's and remember we're not doing it alone either. I can think of so many of you who have in some way or another had interactions and shared your presence, your time, your thoughts with our children. And for that, I do thank you all. Elowen's journey in faith starts on Sunday. By bringing Elowen here to be baptised, her parents are inviting the Holy Spirit to be part of Elowen's life so that she can realise her full potential and have a meaningful relationship with God. And so, like Elowin's family and friends will on Sunday, like Simeon and Anna did 2,000 years ago, I would invite you to be open to the Holy Spirit, that we can hear God's word and realise the full potential that God has for us all.
Good morning, friends. I'm going to speak to you a little bit now about our reading from Malachi. So Simeon and Anna were probably aware of a prophecy of Malachi. In particular, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come. Simeon and Anna were prepared to wait at the temple for God to fulfil his promise. They were content to place everything else to one side. You may be aware that our theme for this season is love in action. The actions of Simeon and Anna, waiting for Jesus, devoting their lives to this, acknowledging him, are love in action. It is love for God acted out in their everyday lives. It's also a reminder that love for God and love for each other can take a multitude of different forms. For example, C.S. Lewis said this: "Do not waste time thinking whether you love your neighbour, act as if you did. Do not waste time thinking whether you love your neighbour, act as if you did." There's a call to service here. This is not about over-analysing a situation, but rather a call to arms. If you prefer the Nike slogan, just do it. St. Augustine of Hippo said, "Love and say it with your life. Love and say it with your life." In this phrase, love is active, it is doing. It also contains an element of sacrifice. You must use your life to demonstrate or live out your love. It cannot be outsourced. There's no chance of Simeon or Anna outsourcing their love. They're living it in God's presence and waiting on him. However, this is not easy. Waiting can be tough when the world seems to move and change so fast. You'll be aware that today, in the life service, we're celebrating the baptism of Elowin. It's a very special day for her and her family. But as Malachi notes, this is not a one-off. Instead, we're all invited to be refined and purified as a continual process. It's a regular, repeated activity. To clarify, we commit ourselves to God, and then each and every day, we stuff up. Sometimes it'll be later that day, or the next, or later that week. But to be honest, most weeks I've said something or thought something which I should not have before I make it to the car. I'm not very good at this being a good thing, but I am getting better at realising this. Each time we stand up and recognise this and commit doing better, next time God refines us a little more. We get a little closer to what we should be. The final part of our reading from Malachi concerns a promise to put us on trial, speaking out against various groups, but also a proclamation not to fear the Lord. What are we to make of this? It would be understandable if we were afraid of being placed on trial. How is this something to look forward to or rejoice at? Secondly, we might not be a sorcerer, an adulterer or a perjurer. We might not defraud labourers of their wages or oppress the widows and the fatherless and deprive the foreigners of justice. However, we might be, or we may have done. A reminder here of Matthew 5:27-29, when Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery, but I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart." These are high standards, not only not to do wrong, but also not to entertain or exercise, even in your own head, the emotions of hate, anger, lust, greed, and so on. On the basis of these 2 points, why should we not be afraid? Well, here is the thing that's sometimes so hard to accept about our faith. God will always love you. That is the constant here. God will always love each and every one of you. In one of our songs, Big Family of God, we proclaim God's love. And if you know it, you'll see that sometimes members of our congregation play out the actions, and you'll know that there's a line which said, "God loves you and you and you and you." And the congregation will point at each other as they say, "and you and you and you." At the last, it does not matter what you do or don't do. And yes, it will be revealed ultimately, and that might be a deeply uncomfortable thought. But refer to my first point: God loves you individually, personally, and without exception. That love is greater than anything else, any other force in your life. Nothing you can do can hide or diminish that love. Therefore, why would you be afraid? Our response to this is love for God and our neighbour in action, to go back to my first point. And my challenge for you this week is to go and work out what that means for you personally. Have a blessed week. Amen.
Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glory of Father which is in heaven. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where rust and moth doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither rust nor moth doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal. All things come of thee, and to thine own do we give thee. Whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Our intercessions. Let us pray for the whole state of Christ's Church militant here in earth. Almighty and ever-living God, who by thy holy apostle has taught us to make prayers and supplication and to give thanks for all men, we humbly beseech thee most mercifully to receive these our prayers, which we offer unto thy divine majesty, beseeching thee to inspire continually the universal Church with the spirit of truth, unity, and concord, and grant that all they that do confess thy holy name may agree in the truth of thy holy word, and live in unity and godly love. We beseech thee also to save and defend all Christian kings, princes, and governors, and especially thy servant Charles, that under him we may be godly and quietly governed, and grant unto his whole council and to all that are put in authority under him, that they may truly and impartially minister justice, to the punishment of wickedness and vice, and to the maintenance of thy true religion and virtue. Give grace, O Heavenly Father, to all bishops, priests, and deacons, that they may, both by their life and doctrine, set forth thy true and lively word, and rightly and duly administer thy holy sacraments. And to all thy people, give thy heavenly grace, and especially the congregation listening to this service, that with meek heart and due reverence they may hear and receive thy holy word, truly serving thee in holiness and righteousness all the days of their life. And we must humbly beseech thee of thy goodness, O Lord, to comfort and succour all them who in this transitory life are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity. Let me take a moment to bring before God those who would especially commend to him. And we also bless thy holy name for all thy servants departed this life in thy faith and fear, beseeching thee to give us grace so to follow their good examples, that with them we may be partakers of thy heavenly kingdom. Grant this, O Father, for Jesus Christ's sake, our only mediator and advocate. Amen. Ye that do truly and earnestly repent of your sins, and are in love and charity with your neighbours, and intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God, and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith, and take this holy sacrament to your comfort, and make a humble confession to Almighty God. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker of all things, judge of all men, we acknowledge and bewail our manifold sins and wickedness, which we from time to time most grievously have committed, by thought, word, and deed, against thy divine majesty, provoking most justly thy wrath and indignation against us. We do earnestly repent, and are heartily sorry for these our misdoings. The remembrance of them is grievous unto us, the burden of them is intolerable. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. For thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may ever hereafter serve and please thee in newness of life, to the honour and glory of thy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of his great mercy hath promised forgiveness of sins to all them that with hearty repentance and true faith turn unto him, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what comfortable words our Saviour Christ saith unto all that truly turn to him. Come unto me, all that travail and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. So God loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, to the end that all that believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hear also what St. Paul saith. This is a true saying, and worthy of all to be received, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Hear also what St. John saith. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. The Lord be with you, and with thy spirit. Lift up your hearts, lift them up unto the Lord. Let us give thanks unto our Lord God. It is meet and right so to do. It is very meet, right, and our bounden duty, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty everlasting God. Therefore with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Glory be to thee, O Lord most high. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table, but thou art the same Lord whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. Amen. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, who of thy tender mercy didst give thine only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made there, by his one oblation of himself once offered, a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, oblation, and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world, and did institute, and in his holy gospel command us to continue a perpetual memory of that his precious death until his coming again. Hear us, O merciful Father, we most humbly beseech thee, and grant that we, receiving these thy creatures of bread and wine, according to thy Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood, who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, after supper, he took the cup. And when he gave the thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of this, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you shall drink it in remembrance of me. Body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, preserve thy soul unto everlasting life. Take and eat this in remembrance that Christ died for thee, and feed on him in thy heart by faith with thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. As our Saviour Christ hath commanded and taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Almighty and ever-living God, we most heartily thank thee, for that thou dost vouchsafe to feed us, who have duly received these holy mysteries, with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of thy Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, and dost assure us thereby thy favour towards us, and that we are very members incorporate in the mystical body of thy Son, which is the blessed company of all faithful people, and also heirs through hope of thy everlasting kingdom, by the merits of the most precious death and passion of thy dear Son. And we most humbly beseech thee, O Heavenly Father, so to assist us with thy grace, that we may continue in that holy fellowship, and all such good works as thou hast prepared for us to walk in, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with thee and the Holy Ghost be all honour and glory, world without end. Amen. We say the Gloria. Glory be to God on high, and in earth peace, goodwill towards men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee, we glorify thee, we give thanks to thee for thy great glory. O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sins of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord, thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high in the glory of God the Father. Amen. So the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, be with you, your family, your friends, all those whom you love, be with you today and remain with you always. Amen.